the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Megan, also known as Vegan Running Mom. I'm the guest announcer this week. When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at www.veganrunningmom.com and check out my podcast called Run Vegan Run, where I take you on adventures with me during my runs, during my training as a mom, and I also talk a little bit about veganism. Don't be afraid to come on over if you aren't vegan or vegetarian. I go pretty easy on ya. So, where and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on then, let's go for a run.
Don't be mean. We don't have to be mean. Because, remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Zap for while you can, monkey boy!
Hey there, and welcome to episode... What episode is this? 83. Yeah, 83. This is Chris, your host, and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast. And hope everybody's out running. I know it's hot in some places in the northern hemisphere, anyhow. Nice and cool down in Australia and New Zealand, where my friends down there, my Aussie friends and my Kiwi friends and South African friends. Nice and cool there, but it's hot up here in New England, where we don't get a lot of heat. And it's late August, so, well, you know, just when you start getting used to heat, it gets cold again. Days are already starting to get short. So this week, I've been doing something a little bit fun, which is I've been running in the morning. And I've been sort of shocking my body back into running because I have the Ragnar Relay coming up. Still getting over a cold, like an air conditioning cold. We're not used to air conditioning up here. We only need it like a week a year, and this is the week. I ramped up from 0 miles when I was doing my mountain biking to running. I did 24 miles my first week back. I just did every other day just to get my legs used to it. And then last week I got up to 30 miles or so. So I did some doubles and I did some long runs. And then this week I'm going to crest 50. That's my goal. And the way I'm doing that is I'm going to run every morning. And it's interesting because I'm getting up at, you know, 5:30 and going for a run in the woods just when the sun's coming up with my friend the dog, Buddy the Wonder Dog. And so why do I do this? You know, they say, won't you get hurt if you increase your mileage by more than 10%? Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, this is really new runner stuff. I've been doing this for a long time. And I know what hurts, right? I know the first thing to go on me is going to be my Achilles, my right knee, my right calf, my left quad. I know where the weak spots are. So, and it's really low-intensive running. I'm running in the woods, trying to get the volume up, because next week I can do a little speed work, a little strength work, and then do a little long tempo, and I should be all set for the Ragnar Relay, where I'm going to have to run basically 3 half marathons back-to-back in 24 hours. So that's what I'm trying to get geared up for. So, yeah, I ran every day this week. Ran, 12 miles on the road on Sunday. I ran early, ran with a club, and then went out with my daughter as well. So it all added up to about 12, 13 miles. Oh, excuse me. And then every morning this week, it's Wednesday now, I've run. Is it Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. So I ran Monday morning, ran Tuesday morning, ran Wednesday morning. And last night, Tuesday, I went down the track and I did an easy set. Not easy, but I mean, I just wanted to get my legs to remember what speed work is like. So I did an easy set of quarter miles. I did 5 quarter miles at a 6-minute pace, which, you know, it's pretty fast for me, but, you know. And, yeah, I felt that. I felt it in the sense that it made my muscles sore, but I felt it in the sense that it felt very strange and very mechanical, especially, you know, doing it as the second session of the day. And I felt it this morning, too. And a couple of things I'll tell you, learn from this experience. You know, first you got to you got to really stretch. You got to take care of your body. You got to stretch, especially the sensitive areas, like I talked about, where you know you have problems or could develop problems. Typically, the same things break every time you ramp up. So you get to know where the weak spots are, and you can pre-treat them and pre-stretch. And by pre-treat, what I mean is I can get a little heat, and I use Flexol Pro 54. It's just what I use. It's a Capiscum heating cream. And I rub that into those things that I know if I'm doing speed work on a double session, that's what's going to go, right? That right calf still has a tear in it from the New Bedford half marathon this spring. I can feel it in there, but it's not going to tear unless I run on it cold. So I'll warm it up and then make sure I stretch before and after. And, the stretches I do is I do my calves, I do my Achilles, I do my hamstrings, and that's basically it. Then I try to do a little bit of core, push-ups, sit-ups, leg lifts. And how's it going? Well, Monday morning was rough getting up and running. I felt really stiff and awful, but you just sort of muddled through it. And yesterday I felt great. Tuesday morning I felt great. And this morning I felt pretty stiff and pretty tired. And I think that was from doing that speed work last night. And the other difference was yesterday morning I shot a energy gel before I went out. I think that makes a big difference. And I had a little bit of iced coffee. See, in the summertime what you can do when I make coffee in the summertime and it's hot out, is I'll make a pot of coffee, have my cup of coffee, and then stick the pot. I'll make a full pot and put the pot in the fridge. So then next day I can have iced coffee, and it's good, keeps you from getting all sweaty from the hot coffee. Easier to take your vitamins with the with the iced coffee too. Don't melt in your mouth. The other thing I've done every day this week is I'm riding my motorcycle to work, which is great. It's a lot of fun, and I get a 120-something horsepower between my legs and that big water-cooled V4, and I get somewhere around 50-plus miles to the gallon, so it's incredibly fun and fast and very fuel-efficient. Plus, my truck's dead. It's good for about a half a mile. I traded it in for the cash for clunkers. They gave me $3,500 for my truck, just the government did. This isn't the dealership. This is the government, and so I'm getting a Camry instead. So big change for me, man. I've been driving a truck for 20 years. So a big change for me. I think my wife has finally succeeded in completely emasculating me. So I got the Camry now. At least I don't have a minivan, right? we'll see what happens. Got to get a bike rack for it. Haven't biked at all. I biked once last weekend, and it was horrible. I smashed a rock or a tree or something because I bent my ring and it wouldn't shift right, so the Kona needs some more work as usual. I'm out here on the screened-in porch cooling down and stretching with Buddy. And Buddy's a wreck, man. He hasn't run this much, so he's run Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with me. And he doesn't look so good, man. He looks pretty tired. This hot weather isn't good for him. Maybe I'll give him a break. But so I'm going to try to run every day this week. So that's 7 times 6, which is my base, my 10K loop. So 7 times 6, that's 42, plus the extra 6 or so from Sunday, which is 48. And then Saturday I'll try to throw in a long run and bring it up over 50. And that'll be a good week. And then next week I'll back off and I'll switch to doing strength work instead of the heavy base. I'll do strength, or I'll lay in strength, and then the week after that I'll lay in some long tempo, and then taper a week for the Ragnar, and I should be right as rain. So that's how now why can I do this? Because I've been running for years, and my base conditioning is very high, right? It's basically just the leg muscles and the mechanics that I have to spin up. I got it, and I've had it for years. It doesn't go away that fast. So, you beginning runner? Yeah, that's, there's something to be said about starting a program by seeing if you can run every day for 5 or 6 or 7 days. Whether it's 2 miles or 5 miles, just that discipline of getting up and running every day for 4 or 5 days might be good enough to jumpstart a habit. But watch the volume if you're a new runner, because something will break. It's a good way to figure out what's going to break, because it'll force it to break. All right, well, that's it. Thanks for coming out with me today, and on with the show.
Hey, what are all you guys doing here? I was just heading out with the dog for a run. Hey, who are you? Chris, I was called in to help facilitate a family meeting to help you get your life back.
Okay.
So if you can just take a seat, they have some things they want to say to you. And we'd like to offer you a way out. We'd like to help you kick this thing. Dave, why don't you start?
Chris, I've seen your addiction to running negatively affect your life. I miss the times when we used to go fishing, play golf, or hang out at the pub, drinking beer, smoking cigars, eating hot wings. I mean, you're my baby brother, man. I need you. I feel like I've lost a friend. I feel like I've lost a brother.
Chris, these people love you. Please take this opportunity we're giving you. Let's hear from your wife.
Chris, I just don't know you anymore. I mean, look at you. Look at what your addiction has done to you. You're all skin and bones. I can't even hug you anymore. Sunday mornings used to be our time for Nookie, but now I wake up and you're gone. Out for a long run with the club and that damn dog. What about me? What about our life together? I love you, honey, but I can't take this. Not knowing if I'm going to get a call from the police that they found your body dead in a ditch. Please, Chris, take this gift.
Chris, you've got to stop kidding yourself. Take this offer for help.
Who the hell are you? You don't know me.
Oh, I do know you. I've been there. The shoe buying binges, late nights on the track, stress fractures. I've done it all. I've lost everything, and I'm here to help you not make the mistakes I made. Your daughter wants to say something to you.
Dad, you're such an asshole. I mean, wearing those tights to pick me up at school? How do you think that makes me feel? My friends see you and think I'm some sort of freak. And coming to my soccer practice and running laps around the field? My God, you're such a loser. Just stop it, for Christ's sakes. Please.
Can you see, Chris? Can you see how this running addiction is tearing your family apart? Come on, man. Reach for this lifeline we're throwing you. Take my hand. Let me pull you back to the comfort of the couch. Who else here has something to say to Chris?
Chris, I've known you my whole life. We went to school together. I remember you running cross country, but we figured it was just a phase, that you'd grow out of it. This is the end of the line. You've got to stop now. You're not going to get a better chance. Please take this gift.
So what's it going to be, Chris? We've arranged a car to take you to the airport right now. We're going to fly you to California, check you into the Happy Drones Inertial Institute. It's a 90-day program. You will have to check in your running shoes. We're going to fit you with a heart monitor so that the attendants will sedate you anytime your heart rate gets over 80. When you get back, you can restart your new life as a happy, sedate member of the community. What's it going to be?
Can I just take the dog out for one last run?
No, no, no more runs. It's now or never, Chris. You have to choose.
So what's to stop me from just getting up and running now? You? You gonna chase me? Looks to me like you'd have a coronary halfway to the door, you fat bastard. Hey, I'll catch you all later. And don't wait up, I'm going for 20. Come on, buddy.
No, 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 no. Don't tug on that. You never know what it might be attached to.
And now for our featured interview.
And Shan.
Hi there.
We're back. And Shan Riggs is with Medals for Metal.
That's right.
M-E-D-D-L-E. Not M-E-D-D-L-E.
That's right.
This is where this doctor in Indiana, I believe, Indianapolis, I think, he came up with this great idea one day of giving medals from marathons to sick people or other people with challenges to sort of help them through those challenges. And it seemed to really help those people, so it's morphed into a nationwide program. So can you tell me a little bit about the history and how it got started and what you guys are doing now?
Yeah, well, I can tell as best as I know. I started volunteering with that Dr. Steve Eisenberg, this gentleman. He was out at Indianapolis, and I started volunteering with the group a couple years after he'd gotten it off the ground. He's a surgeon, and a marathoner, and had completed a marathon, I believe, that day, and had his medal with him, and a friend of his was sick and in the hospital, and as he was talking to him, he realized that the gentleman that was going through the that was there in the hospital needed the medal quite a bit more than he did, and was going through as much or more than what Steve had gone through in the race, and so he had given him his medal, and that's where the idea kind of sprang from.
And then I think the big explosion here, if you will, was there was an article in a great article in Runner's World, right?
That's right. It was mostly in Indianapolis and then in Chicago for a couple of years, and we'd done some activities and given them all around the region, and Runner's World got wind of it and did an article, and then once that happened, all kinds of inquiries were coming. People were sending in medals, but Dr. Eisenberg was also in need of, and still in need of, volunteers to help distribute these medals, not just in the region, but all over the country, and now in several other countries. So we're international now as well. It's made up completely by volunteers who take medals in their local communities and then distribute them, clean them up, put ribbons on them, and then distribute them and wherever they're at.
Okay. So give me an example of something you guys have done recently.
Well, I could tell you a little bit of experience that I had a year or two ago. It was right before the Runner's World article, so we were still trying to get the word out about Medals for Metal, and I'm a ultra runner, so I was in Chicago, and I grew up in Indianapolis, and I had always had kind of a thought in the back of my head what it would be like to run from Chicago to Indianapolis, which is about 200 miles.
Yeah.
And then we made the idea of maybe we can raise money and raise awareness of Medals for Metal, and I could kind of fulfill a dream of mine and do this run by running from Chicago to Indianapolis in one go. So I, with some friends, and we raised some pledges, and on one Saturday morning left for Indianapolis, and with the goal being to finish at a local hospital there.
Okay.
Where we'd passed out medals for some of the kids that were in the children's ward. 51 hours later, after taking off, we made it to the hospital and passed out several medals, and it was a lot of fun. Kids especially are great, and you know they love the shiny medals, and you know it doesn't necessarily matter whether it has, you know, Boston on it or Chicago on it. Although the Disney medals are a favorite.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah,
they got the Minnie and the Mickey Mouse and the Donald Duck and all those. But really, anything is great. I mean, it's great to get an award, and they really are going through quite a bit.
So I mean, tell me something about the emotional effect. I mean, what good does this do for somebody who's in the hospital doing this? Is there, you know, because I haven't had that much experience with this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Does it really make that big of a deal to somebody?
You know, I think you'd have to ask them. And each individual is unique, and I think it works both ways. It's a good experience for the person that's giving the medal, because they can brighten somebody's day by giving away something that really doesn't have any tangible value.
Right.
I know people sometimes get connected to their medals, but it's really the experience is what's important, of completing the marathon or whatever it was, the challenge that they completed. And this is a way for one person to transfer that emotion and show that they care. And on the other side, again, it's not so much about receiving an award or a medal. Yeah, it's the recognition that people, even people that you don't know, can appreciate what you're going through, or is doing their best to appreciate what you're going through. And I think that helps people feel maybe less alone. But again, I think it affects each individual differently.
I know in some of the other charities, when the people that go to do the event, they're actually running for an individual, you know,
mm-hmm.
someone in a ward somewhere. Do you guys do it that way too, where you're actually running the event for the person,
mm-hmm.
and then when you're done with the event and you get your medal, you know, you bring it back and give it to that person, sort of personalize the event and tie it to the person that way?
Yeah, that's a good question. It has been done several times. Dr. Eisenberg, in fact, he ran the London Marathon here this year, and after the race, he had a specific person in mind that she brought it to, and in fact, I think this weekend, Dr. Eisenberg's running the Pikes Peak Marathon.
Ooh, that's a brutal marathon.
It is a brutal marathon. I think it's the first time Dr. Eisenberg's done something of this magnitude, so... And I think just being involved in it has maybe inspired him to take on bigger and bigger challenges. But then
yeah,
again,
that,
I think
that,
they have a...
Yeah, that runs like an ultra.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's basically straight up for 13 miles and then down 13 miles. So,
right, and it's not a single path, too. So.
Right. We wish him good luck on that. But I think in that case as well, he has a specific donor in mind. And so depending on how all the individual... kind of chapters or areas run the organization, then sometimes that's how it's done. Although I believe most of the time we're giving away fairly large amounts of medals, and then it's really up to the hospital kind of how they get distributed.
Right, so you're sort of collecting bulk medals and then getting them to the hospital and they're passing them out.
That's true. So we get medals from all over the world, and people do have an opportunity to... send us a message that goes along with the medal.
Yeah.
To kind of explaining why it is that they're giving away something that they had to work so hard for. There's that opportunity too.
What's the most interesting medal you've seen pass through?
Get Iron Man's. I'm in my office now, and I've got a whole office full of them right now. And we, you know.
Well, but.
Yeah. We've gotten, you know, Boston medals and Ironman triathlon ones
That blows me away that somebody would cough up their unicorn medals for this. So, you know, mm-hmm. and it's probably just my frame of mind is different. But there's so much emotion wrapped around something like a Boston or a Leadville or a something mm-hmm. like that. It's interesting. I guess it's all in the mindset of the person who's doing it, though, you know?
Yeah, and very few people are actually running for the medal anyway. You know, we could take a picture and have a memory, and that's the important part. It is special to earn something of that magnitude, but it's special to give it away, too. But again, right now, in my hand, I have a whole slew of them from a variety of Disney medals, and these are certainly the prettiest ones. Marathon ones are pretty good looking too, I guess.
The Miami ones have a big palm tree on them, right?
Yeah, and they spin around, and anything that spins, that's great. We give away the medals not exclusively to children, but for a lot of the medals do go to children. So,
all right. You haven't gotten in trouble. Haven't gotten in trouble yet with somebody choking on one or something?
No, and we take care to use. Soft ribbons that are wide. We don't just take the metal with the ribbon. One of the things that we need volunteers for is to take the original metals, we take the ribbons off, we clean up the metals, and then we put on a brand new metals for metal ribbon.
Okay.
And it's also something that requires it's all volunteers, and the biggest expense is the ribbons themselves, which is not too expensive per ribbon, but it starts to add up when everybody's doing this as a volunteer. So we do most of the donations are medals, but cash is needed also.
Cash. So it sounds to me like you're also looking for volunteers to sort of build new chapters and run the organization and do the field work as well.
That's right.
All right. So you probably have boxes and boxes of medals. That's probably not the constraint at this point.
We do have lots of medals, but we're always wanting to take more. So. They're not exactly pouring in, at least not here in San Francisco, but I do currently have a pretty big box full.
First of all, we'll get to the part where you can tell me where people should send this stuff or who they should call. But have you gotten other stuff besides medals, like, plates or trophies or that kind mm-hmm. of stuff?
People ask about that, and for now, just with the people that we have in place and the structure we have in place, we're kind of sticking to medals rather than other forms of gifts.
So no Super Bowl rings?
Well, I might take a Super Bowl ring, but...
and you haven't seen the odd, 1924 Olympics gold medal slide in from somebody?
I haven't seen one of those yet, but I haven't looked through the latest batch real closely.
All right. So what are the plans for the future here?
Well, actually, here in San Francisco, I need somebody to take over the administrator area for me, because I'm moving back to Chicago. I've been living in San Francisco for a year and kind of got it started out here a little bit. So anybody that wants to do that, we're looking for. And Dr. Eisenberg's hoping to continue expanding and moving to other locations. We'd like to put a little bit more structure to the organization. It is kind of loose fit right now. But eventually we want to get to where we have a real steady group that's and perhaps, you know, start doing events and other things. So it'll evolve and grow as we grow.
You guys should get some sort of relationship with Dan Ashworth over at Ashworth Awards, where 90% of your medals come from originally. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would think there's some sort of relationship you could do there.
Yeah, and that brings up a question that we get a lot, too, which is we get race directors and other people that have, you know, boxes and boxes of unused medals that hadn't gone out to anybody. And at this point, we're really only looking for medals that have been won.
Yeah.
So because, of course, it means more to the person giving it and therefore the recipient.
Yeah.
But at some point, we could see, I could see the day where we have a place for those medals that maybe haven't been used as well, but not at this time.
Must be kind of fun to have all, you know, these boxes of medals show up in your office, though, and you get to sort through them and look at all the cool stuff.
Yeah, it is interesting to see what all people go through.
Do you ever get any really interesting notes from people?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's so many that are touching. I wish I could think of an example. There are actually some on the website, which is also where people should go if they want to donate a medal, if they're interested in volunteering or donating cash as well.
Right. So tell us the website, but do it really slowly, because I've been confusing my D's and my T's and my numbers.
Yeah, that it is a little confusing, and it's medals for metal, MEDALS, the number 4, and then metal, METTLE, .org.
All right. And people can contribute medals. They can volunteer to be medal distributors. That's kind of funny. What do you think the impact of this is, you know, going forward? Do you think this is going to be something that's going to take over the world?
Well, I think it'll be something that fits in with other charities that are giving cash. This is a kind of a unique way to do something and give something to somebody where it doesn't cost much.
Yeah.
And it's growing all the time, and as there's more and more visibility and more folks like yourself help us get the word out, I see it being just something that everybody's aware of and familiar with and everybody can participate in.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said when people are challenged with a disease or something like that, to just have somebody thinking about you, to know there's somebody out there, like you said, even if it's a stranger. Because I know I've seen, you know, Dean Karnazes do that, and Dave McGilvery do that, and even, you know, Lance Armstrong do that, just, you know, embrace a couple of kids for every event and bring them into the event.
Mm-hmm.
And Lance was saying in his book how that just knowing that there's somebody out there who cares about you helps with that struggle.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I hope we can get you some more business.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for talking to us. And enjoy the rest of your summer out there in San Francisco.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris.
All right.
It's been fun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
I want to make a call to Mr. John Big Booty at a Yoyodyne Propulsion Systems.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Inspiration.
Yay.
Hey, folks, I'm going to read another story for you from my book, The Midpacker's Lament, available on Amazon.com, but that's not the point. The point is you're all in your training right now for your fall races, and somebody's going to end up getting injured. And the injury cycle is something I'm familiar with. This is a piece from when I actually smashed my knee in a car crash. I just drove off the road like 200 feet from my driveway and ran into a telephone pole. It was one of those weird things. I was swatting a mosquito, but I broke my patella. So it's called Need to Run. The subtitle is Mortality Isn't for Wimps. Here I sit, x-rays in hand,
waiting for the orthopedic surgeon to see me. I haven't run in 2 weeks, actually 11 days, 2 hours, 33 minutes, but who's counting? It's frustrating, sitting and waiting. I can feel the 5 to 10 extra pounds growing around my waist from the inactivity. I don't know about you, but for me, not running, not doing something you love, brings on a diabolic combination of indolence, boredom, and creeping depression. And here I am again, at the doctor's office. After a few decades of running, I've got this doctor thing figured out. I can cut right to the chase and skip the first 5 steps of the injury running doctor dance. I was not always as savvy and wasted a good many months of precious running time patiently being a patient. The way it used to work for me is as follows. Step 1, call your primary care physician or general practitioner and say, for example, my heel hurts. Step 2, visit the GP's office for a nice read of some old National Geographics and a checkup where you were told to A, well, stop running if it hurts, and B, take these painkillers. Which, of course, is nearly useless, except for the National Geographics, which it's a great magazine. Because A, you're not going to stop running, and B, you're probably already an ibuprofen addict. Therefore, you progress to step 3. It still hurts, so you get referred to a specialist, for example, a podiatrist for your heel problem. Step 4, you go see the specialist, who's used to treating the over 70 crowd. Read a few more pages of that great article on discovering, you know, Ramses II's tomb in National Geographic. And although the specialist is more specific in telling you what's wrong, i.e., you've got an inflamed Achilles tendon, you're inevitably banished to more painkillers or a dozen sessions with the physical therapist. Now you're on to step 5, a few visits with the therapist, which can be quite helpful, depending if you hook up with a good therapist. At best, they teach you all about your stretching shortcomings and you learn how to heal yourself. At worst, it's 45 minutes with some rubber bands and therapy balls, like something on a Sunday morning infomercial. The therapy may help, but by this time it's been a couple of months, so your heel might have gotten better on its own, or you're in the glorious crescendo of step 6, you check with your running pals and find a good sports doctor. I skip right to step 6 now. Don't waste your time and money on the preliminary doctor dance. Don't worry, you can use your money that you save to subscribe to National Geographic. Find someone who treats athletes. They are the only people who are going to empathize with you and will have seen your injury before. Best of all, when they tell you to stop running, you can be sure it's necessary and not a placebo whim. Go to the doctors who work on the pros. It makes a huge difference in the quality of care and your peace of mind. So I sit. I can feel the conditioning so hard fought for daily seeping away. I know from experience it leaves twice as fast as it comes back. It's like watching a train you have missed recede into the distance and you're left standing on the platform holding a heavy bag, not able to do anything about it. And there is fear. What are the scenarios to be played out here today? The doctor could say, it's just a bruise, take it easy for a couple weeks. Then we do some stretching, some wiggly strange exercises, and the miles build back slowly on soft surfaces. This scenario, let's call it Scenario A, isn't a bad one. I know how it works, and at least it gives me something to do. Scenario B might involve a cast of some sort and some therapy that would knock me off my feet for months. Maybe even some minor surgery. Yikes! Still, it contains an endpoint. It's okay. The fear comes from Scenario C. In this scenario, the doctor looks very unhappy and says something like, fractured patella. This would be followed by some comforting advice to find another sport that doesn't involve the use of the right leg or risk dire consequences. That's the dark scenario. That's the morbid fiend that threatens to steal my soul. Mortality stinks. A couple months ago, I was in marathon shape. Now I'm pinwheeling into a couch potato with overwhelming entropy. In the end, the results were indeterminate. The doctor said things like no sign of bone damage and no arthritis and good joint separation. Most importantly, he answered the only real question that I had, the $64,000 question. Can I run? He said, sure, just take it easy. There's still something messed up in the knee. He sent me for an MRI to see if there's any soft tissue damage, and it really hurts to run. The MRI machine whirs and clicks away, secret pictures of my soft tissue as I shiver in my backless Johnny on the slab. A nice nurse technician apologizes and promises almost over. I don't mind. I don't often get to take naps during working hours. I pick up the slides after they're developed. The doctor is on vacation. It'll be another week before he will have time to see me and look at them. Curious, my wife and I pull the slides out and hold them up to a light. It looks like a smudge to me. I can't tell what I'm looking at. Look, dear, there's its little head. One interesting thing is certain images are circled with a red pen and a little red exclamation points next to the circles. Now, that can't be good news, can it? I'm sure the technician was just highlighting my excellent bone structure. We'll have to wait and see what the doc says. I tried chi running to see if I could exercise mind over matter. But as I was attempting to keep my head in the proper position, I stepped in a gopher hole, rolled my ankle, tried instinctively to catch myself with the bad knee, and ended up laying on my back with my entire chi running into the ground. Once again, I'm convinced that God has a strange sense of humor. If you're a mid-packer with any history, you've been to the doctor with an injury, or will eventually. Take my advice. Don't waste your time. Find a good one. As runners, we tend to be our own doctors. No other person will ever know more about your body than you do, but don't be afraid to ask for help. Eventually, you'll get back on your feet. We'll all get slower and more brittle with age. Mortality stinks, but it's better to run from it than to sit and wait.
Wait a minute. I need to see Buckaroo Banzai in person. My name is John Parker.
All right. Day 5 of the run every morning. Exercise down here at the pond with Buddy. Not a breeze, not a zephyr in the sky. It's about 6:20 in the morning, and just it's like glass, the pond. The deer flies are out in force, but I have my fly hat on. You may ask, what's a fly hat? And I told you this before, but maybe you weren't listening. That's when you safety pin, take a couple of your safety pins from your race numbers and put a bandana to the back of your running hat so it drapes down over your neck and shoulders. And that will keep the deer flies off you. Well, it'll keep them from biting you anyhow. So, here's my tip. That's a good tip. That's a good tip. Sun's just coming up. You can see it over there. Still warm. Warm every day this week. Go ahead, swim some more. Yeah, he's got a stick stuck in his butt fur. Stupid dog. He gets up and runs with me, right? He looks like he's a wreck, too. I'm a wreck this morning. He's really have no energy. After I go to work, he sneaks upstairs and gets into my bed, right? And, of course, he's all wet and muddy and full of sticks and dirt and stuff. So, that's been uncomfortable every night. I go to bed and find myself in a big pile of dog detritus. Hey, so race is coming up. I got some good stuff coming up. I got the Ragnar Relay. We're still looking for one volunteer. This is basically it, standing at some at a station in the middle of the night, someplace between Connecticut and Massachusetts. That's what we're looking for. So if you're on that course between Yale and Harvard, somewhere in there in the hinterlands, you're near one of those stations, shoot me a note, and we can really use it. One more volunteer. We got two. We need one more. So, Wapak Trail Race coming up. That's the end of the month. It's Memorial Day weekend, I believe. And it's an awesome race. 17 miles, four mountains, out and back. So you do all four mountains twice. Runs like a marathon. So if you're a 3:30 marathoner, there he goes. He's going all the way in. He's swimming around. If you're a 3:30 marathoner, this race is going to take you three hours and 30 minutes. But if you're on a marathon training plan and you're a trail runner, this is a great training run. Wapak Trail Race up in Temple, New Hampshire. So check that out. Don't know what I'm doing after Ragnar. I'll have to find something. Maybe we'll do something for the Worldwide Festival of Races. And then I got to sort of gear up for the Marine Corps Marathon. I'm not going to race it. I know a lot of people down there, a lot of mid-back, back-of-the-packers, so I'll find somebody to jog with, have some fun, see the site, take pictures with the characters. Whew, I'm going to be in Milwaukee. Oh, look at that. That was so cool. The great blue heron just did like a flyby and either dropped a fish or just shat an enormous lug into the pond like a dive bomber. So, you got to picture this, right? It's August here, so it's full leaf cover. And it's early morning, so the sun's coming up sideways over the pond, illuminating the pond. The pond's like glass, and this giant bird comes swooping down right through my field of vision, right about, I'm going to say, 75 yards out, right in this smooth pond, and he just lets loose something, splashes in the pond, and he keeps going. So that was kind of cool. All right. Coming up, I got some other people I'm going to talk to, a couple of more nutrition people. It seems to me like nutrition supplements are just exploding, especially in these bad economic times. That's typically when people start companies, you know, little companies. They follow their dream. They get laid off and follow their dream. So I'd like to support entrepreneurs, so we'll have some more of those nutrition people on. I did have a line in to Dan Brown, the 5K record holder. He's in Berlin at the Worlds right now, but he said he'd talk to me on the way back. Thank you for the not ready for primetime players there for that intervention parody. That was a riot. Of course, that would be Aaron, Greg, Joe. Gordon was the interventionist, and Buddy as himself, and daughter as daughter, and me as me. So that was pretty funny. I got a big kick out of that. So hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you out there.
Links for all the people and races and other things I've talked about today will be in the show notes, and you can find them on Feedburner and or Libsyn under Run Run Live or CYKT Russell. Music tonight is from the PodSafe Music Network, and it took me a while today to find something I liked. There's a lot of bad music out there. Seems that every overactive teenager with a PC thinks he or she is a DJ. But I like this one. It's by a group called Planetary Knights, and it's called Road Trip. Enjoy. And by the way, the theme of today's show, if you're not of the right age group, you might have missed it. It's Buckaroo Banzai, and that's a movie from 1984. Look it up. It's one of the worst, best movies ever. You know what I mean? One of those, a cult classic. See ya.
Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.